That working? Oh, yeah. My name is Mike Duff. I am a contributing editor to Homepage News, which is a news site that's affiliated with the International Housewares Association. I'm hosting the Innovation Theater, and the program we have today is on a technology that is coming into its own, or maybe it would be better to say that it is becoming a lot more important in the home side of retail and the mass market. And RFID, which has been around for a while, now is getting greater adoption. There's been late news of Walmart adding smart tags, but it certainly wasn't the first, and majors such as Target and Macy's have been doing it for some time. So Marshall Kay is here from RFID Sherpas to give you a broader perspective on RFID technology, some of which you may be familiar with, some of which you may be not, and how execution can benefit your business. So without further ado.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. And hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you today. As Mike was alluding to, RFID smart labels are changing the way business is being conducted, and it's coming to home goods more and more. Literally by the month, it's changing. I'll tell you very quickly about me and the role that our retail consultancy plays in this space. We are management consultants. We focus on retail. We do not sell the technology itself, so we aren't resellers of any company's software or tags or hardware. Instead, one of the services we provide to our clients is helping them make good choices, and we also help them negotiate very effectively when they need to buy these things from providers. We aren't integrators, but we also know quite a few, and we are involved in programs. Basically, we help retailers and consumer brands get the most value out of the technology itself. So adapt or die. That's something that's happening certainly in retail in some sectors more than others. And keep this in mind, there once was a time in the 1970s, I would say, where you could legitimately ask a retail CEO, does your company use computers? And then that question, before long, became a silly question. You get shown to the door pretty quickly. So that's what's going on within retail. I'll tell you a little bit more about a sector where it's happened much more quickly than what's happening now in home goods, but this is a revolution that is taking place. It's a quiet revolution, but it's a revolution nevertheless. And when you think of the long arc of history, I've started here with the example of moving from a world where business was conducted just with pen and paper, and then computers became a thing, and then barcodes became more important, and then the internet was invented, and then you had e-commerce, and then smartphones and m-commerce, and RFID and smart labels are on par with that sort of step change, but because it isn't something that is as applicable to all sectors within retail at the same time, you're probably hearing about it less, but it's starting to happen in home goods. So it's great that you're here. So we've all heard the expression of the straw that breaks the camel's back. And what's manifesting itself in retail is that not having a clear picture of exactly what inventory is sitting in your store is increasingly adding costs to retailers because the convergence between online and brick and mortar is requiring retailers to do more and more and develop new competencies and behaviors. And it's harder to do that, well, I'd say it's very hard to do it, with tools that were best designed for the 1990s and aren't providing the appropriate degree of precision in terms of understanding what you have and understanding where it is and helping you get it. It makes things harder for your employees. It makes things harder for your customers, not just the people in your stores, but people looking to shop your stores and shop your company from the comfort of their home or wherever they are on their phone. So the sector where RFID took root quickest was with apparel. And what you're seeing here is a chart that shows in blue the total number of tags used for apparel and footwear by year from 2014 with projections up to 2019. Orange is everything other than apparel and footwear. And what you'll see is that the growth rate, what's called the compound annual growth rate, or CAGR for short, is actually projected to be twice as big for non-apparel, non-footwear, than it is for those two categories. But that's not to say that there isn't still going to be significant growth with apparel and footwear as well. That is projected to be 20%. So I want to show you what we're talking about when we're talking about RFID and smart labels. And I have with me some props. So RFID is most typically found in two ways. It's either in a sticker, and what I'm holding here is a package with a charging cable from Target. This sells, I think, for anywhere from $5 to $10, something like that. And afterwards, after the presentation, you're all welcome to come up to the table and you can see and touch and feel these labels. And I'm happy to send you my presentation as well if you'd like, so you don't need to worry about taking notes or anything like that. But basically, this sticker is a traditional sticker, except it has a microchip in it, and that microchip has product information, not just the traditional barcode information, but also a serial number too. The microchip gets into the sticker at the point where the sticker is actually produced, before it's shipped to the factory that makes these charging cables and applies the sticker on. So stickers are a very common format, or paper tickets. So it can be integrated right into the single paper ticket on the product, or sometimes you'll find a second paper ticket, but it isn't necessary. This happens to be a scarf from Allbirds, but this could easily be a blanket, which of course is Home Goods. So that's what we're talking about with RFID. We're talking about smart labels. There are devices that wake up the microchip and have the microchip send back the product's information, usually within a range of about 20 feet. Sometimes it's 20 to 30 feet. Employees of a store will walk around the store and basically wand the inventory, and that can be done on a daily basis, depending on what the retailer wants. You can also have readers positioned at doorways, so if somebody takes some merchandise from the stock room out onto the sales floor, the readers can detect what has passed onto the sales floor, even directionality if it were to go back. And some retailers use this at their exits to get a better understanding of what merchandise is leaving the store that hasn't been paid for. Some retailers use this at checkout, where instead of looking for barcodes, the store associates just take the items, place it on the counter, and they're rung up automatically. There are lots of different uses for this, but within a store, it's mainly about giving you the degree of precision that you typically only have once a year when you have a small army of people descend on the store. There's never been a more economical way to get that visibility in terms of exactly what you have for each SKU, how many units are on the sales floor, how many are in the stock room. So that, of course, changes the way store associates can work the store to make sure you have excellent product availability and you have much greater confidence in knowing what you have in the store, which helps your online business as well. So that's why this stuff is really important. And remember, even if the internet had never been created, this is solving problems that retailers have wanted to solve for a long, 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 long time. So within apparel and footwear, certain CEOs recognized early on that this was going to be very important. Now, granted, I've given you a quote here from 2019 from the chairman of Nike. I could have easily given you a quote from 2014 from the chairman of Inditex, which is the parent company of Zara, essentially saying the same thing. But this quote really speaks for itself. This is powerful stuff. And like I said, it's not just for in-store shoppers, but it's for wherever a consumer expresses interest and demand for a product. This is about getting product into a consumer's hands as quickly and cost-effectively as possible, wherever that demand manifests itself. So this is an interesting graph. This is a study that's performed every year by a consulting firm called McKinsey, and this is in the apparel, footwear, accessories, jewelry, watches, and bags and luggage categories. And what they do is they look at between 350 to 400 public companies, and they measure them on the basis of their ability to generate economic profit. So around 2010, what you'll see is about 70% of companies were able to generate economic profit. Fast forward by a decade, and that basically has flipped. Now, only about 30% are able to generate an economic profit. Now, I didn't include a certain slide in this deck, but I'll tell you a little bit about it. They take the top 20, so out of that 30%, that is roughly 100 companies, they then take the top 20 and they call them super winners. And then if you take a look at those super winners, you can kind of cross-reference. And what I did was I looked at, of the brands and retailers that were early to recognize the significance of inventory excellence and inventory accuracy and visibility, how do they, how well are they represented in this list of super winners? And not surprisingly, out of the top 10 super winners, you had heavy, heavy representation. So I'm not suggesting that RFID is the reason why those companies happen to be excellent, smart, highly profitable companies. The takeaway here is that companies that were already very successful in their industries or in this sector happen to also have recognized early on that this is really, really important. So let's talk about home goods, because all of that discussion about apparel and footwear was really to provide you some context. In home goods, of course, there was a very important announcement by Walmart earlier this year, and we'll talk about that. But I want to put that in context, because that news from Walmart certainly wasn't the first movement in the home goods category. In fact, there are many important retailers here in North America that are already using RFID and smart labels in home goods. You had Target that made the decision about 5 years ago to require this for all of their soft home products. You have Macy's, who's made this a requirement across a wide range of products for many years. You have Nordstrom with Nordstrom Rack as well. You have Dillard and Belk and Bloomingdale's. What's interesting here is that as far as home goods is concerned, what you're seeing is that the multi-brand retailers who sell across a wide range of product categories, who started first with apparel and footwear, have basically wanted to capitalize on that proficiency and expertise and extend it across categories into home goods and others. What you're not seeing yet, but I think this will change within the next 2 years, is that specialist retailers like Bed Bath & Beyond haven't been as quick as the multi-category competitors that they compete with. But like I said, I think that's gonna change. I think a Crate & Barrel, if I had to predict, I think Crate & Barrel will start doing something within the next 2 years. How quickly? That remains to be seen. So it's a necessary climb. And the point here is that you can't take a pass on smart labels and do nothing for the next 5 to 10 years and hope that it all goes away. Taking a pass on smart labels is like taking a pass on e-commerce. You can't just wish it away. And by the way, it's not a bad thing. This is all about precision and inventory optimization, because there are many costs to being a retailer. Those costs keep rising. The convergence of online and brick and mortar has required retailers to do new things in new ways with old tools. So it's not a shocker when you think of that McKinsey chart that I showed you, that fewer and fewer companies were actually able to generate a profit. And that's before the supply chain crisis. That's before the COVID pandemic. That's before the overdue gradual increase in wages paid to store employees. So it becomes more and more critical to be as efficient as possible wherever you can. So let's talk about Walmart for a moment. In 2019, they communicated to their suppliers in apparel, footwear, sunglasses, watches, and jewelry. They communicated that at the item level, that merchandise coming into Walmart USA, Walmart USA would need to have smart labels. They delayed the dates by which those were required by a bit to account for the fact that the pandemic created a lot of disruption. And last year was the first real year where they were taking advantage in a big way of having those smart labels. The big news is that in January of this year, they communicated to suppliers in a broad range of categories. I'll start outside of home goods. You have automotive, where they're doing this with their car batteries, in addition to a program they have going with tires. They have the toy category. They have electronics. So things like TVs, Xboxes, a wide range of electronics like that, and also wireless electronics, so smartphones, tablets, and all of the cords, cables, and other accessories that are part of the electronics department. And then with home goods, bath and shower, bedding, kitchen and dining, furniture, storage and organization. So the requirement is that by the middle of August of this summer, that these goods be arriving to Walmart with these smart labels attached. And this includes .com merchandise, in case anyone is wondering. And the rationale for doing this is because Walmart has already recognized the value that this precision gives to them, not just in the four walls of their store, but as it relates to their e-commerce business as well. They've said that they've seen dramatic results and have seen dramatic improvements that have had major impacts on sell-through and customer satisfaction. So on the one hand, this is big news. On the one hand, it isn't big news. And we'll start with why it isn't big news. Number one, RFID was already here to stay. Even though it's been a quiet revolution and you might not read about it every day, even for the apparel and footwear sector, where it truly has transformed the way many businesses run their stores and run their entire enterprises. But RFID was here to stay. Even if we just talk about home goods, you saw all of the other retailers that had already made smart labels a requirement. So while the Walmart news is big news, and it's certainly interesting and welcome news for those who believe in the value of this technology, it's not like there was any question of whether RFID was going away or not. Secondly, like I said, many other retailers were already requiring this. And then finally, it was always understood and expected that Walmart would expand into other categories once it developed proficiency with the initial set of categories. So why is this news big news? Big news because Walmart itself is in the process of becoming more efficient and more effective in many more categories. So if you're a company that competes with Walmart, you really ought to take notice and take this into account. Secondly, anytime there's news from Bentonville, it's a big deal, just based on the sheer size and scale of Walmart. And then thirdly, and I'd say this is last but not least, anytime you can say that even Walmart is using smart labels in a certain category, it puts to bed any question about the economics and the value of these smart labels in that category. And that's not at all to be dismissive of Walmart. They ought to be very proud of selling good merchandise at great prices. So that's not to say that at all. It's to say that if anyone in your company, if you work for a company that sells or distributes home goods, and anyone on your leadership team wonders whether or not these smart labels make sense in this category, you can tell them that, hey, even Walmart is using them. So Walmart, just like the other retailers in the space, have been making great efforts to try to assist their suppliers in becoming more familiar with the technology and how to be applying these smart labels and which ones to use, and they have certain requirements. They had a supplier summit in February, and they've directed their suppliers to be working with Auburn University's RFID lab that has its own set of defined specs called the ARC standard. Different product types have different specs, and Walmart has specified which labels to use. They haven't said which provider of labels you need to buy from, but it needs to meet these performance specifications. And the industry standards body that has administered the barcode for decades, which is called GS1, is involved here too. It's been working with RFID for several years, and they play a key role anytime there is collaboration involved between retailers and suppliers. And then, of course, you have the label providers themselves who are adept at assisting consumer brands in meeting retailer requirements. So I mentioned before technical specifications, and I mentioned the ARC standards. Here's an example from a national department store chain. It's a bit of an eye chart up here, but if you want a copy of the presentation and speak to me afterwards, you'll be able to read this a little more clearly. But what it does is it lists a variety of products, not just for home goods, but also for apparel and footwear, et cetera, and it indicates what the defined specification for the smart labels are. And now what I'm gonna do is show you a series of products. Basically what happens is that a consumer brand will work with its label provider. It's not just about what type of label and what spec it must meet and the size of the label. It's also identifying the best placement of that label on the product and on the packaging in order to generate the read. When I say a read, I mean the successful reading of that chip by the device that wakes up the chip. And so a lot of thought goes into this, and I'm gonna show you several different examples of tag placement on different products. And one of the reasons I chose these seven products was to give you a sense for the breadth of some of the products in the home goods category that this is relevant to. So here you have a coffee maker. Here you have pans as part of a set, and you can see that the directive is to apply the sticker on a certain side panel. Here you have a set of bowls, and you'll see in the third picture where the directive is in terms of applying the label. Fourth one, a cheese grater. I bet many people didn't think that these types of products would be part of the program too. They are. Knives here. It's the back of the package where the label should go. On cookware, in this case, they're not using a sticker. You'll see that what they're doing is using a paper ticket, and they've directed where to place it. And then once again, here's an example of using a paper ticket on a teapot. So there are many different suppliers of smart labels. Your existing providers of non-RFID labels may have RFID capabilities as well, but these are several of the providers in the space, starting on the left with the major ones, and you'll see I've noted that I've simply listed companies in alphabetical order. This isn't a ranking of best to worst or anything like that. But it certainly was worth calling out who the major and largest global providers are, as well as others who can certainly do a good job for you. And in addition to the educational materials that Walmart has provided and the access to people and resources that Walmart and Auburn and GS1 are already providing, there are others out there who are providing guidance to. This is a company that does this for a fee. I don't have any personal or financial connection with this company, but I became aware of this seminar, and I know one of the presenters, and it's something that may be worth your time or not. It's up to you. But I see that they're doing a webinar on Zoom on the 7th of March, on the 24th, and then on the 11th. But there are many ways to get information, and you certainly don't need to pay for webinars in order to be properly educated on how to move forward. I would also say that even if none of your retail trading partners are currently requiring you to apply smart labels, it probably will serve you well to begin actively educating yourself on what it really means beyond some of the context that I'm providing you here in this presentation. So this is me. This is how to get in touch with me. Anyone who wants a copy of this presentation, I welcome you to come up and provide me your contact info or your business card, or we can connect on LinkedIn, and I'm happy to send it to you. I really hope this has been helpful for you. I'd love to answer as many questions as you have and help you get the most out of this session. So why don't we turn it over? This catch box is fantastic. It's a microphone. So if you have a question, raise your hand. And I'm going to bring this to you. I'm going to throw it to you. We'll see how good my throwing is. And I'll simply say it's amazing where technology has taken mankind. Do we have any questions right now? OK.
Do they have any lifespan, like the stickers, or are they just good for years and years?
They're good for years and years. So these are stickers that basically they're passive. They need to be woken up. The ones that have a battery and send out signals periodically, those are the ones that ultimately die.
And another one real quick.
Yeah.
So if somebody takes an item out of the store,
yeah,
it will like tag that it's out of the store, but if they return it, like, is it read again, or?
So if somebody walks out of a store and there is not any reading equipment at the entrance of the store, because you know right now you have the older generation of loss prevention technology, that if you walk out and the tag is still attached, you'll hear a beep. Many people call that the cheap beep. I'll tell you why. Because it doesn't tell the retailer how many items walked out the door. You could have taken five things or one thing. All they know is it's a beep. They don't know what was taken out. All they know is that they received a beep. If a retailer chooses to have RFID readers at the doorway, similar to what they have already, they now will know what was taken, in what quantity. They can tie that in with video, not just around the front of the store, but in other parts of the store to see who might have been involved in perpetrating this. But I'll tell you, many retailers have not yet invested in that technology at their entrances. And even though many haven't, the asset protection and loss prevention teams of retailers who don't have that at the doorway are still able to derive a lot of value from this additional data that RFID is giving them based on what is in the store each day, because it gives them a better idea of what's going missing and when. So when somebody comes back into the store, the tag still works. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, the customer has snipped off the tag, but the tag basically still works.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I need my box back.
Yeah.
Thank you. I apologize, I arrived a little bit late, so maybe I ask a question that you already understand. So my question is about how these things are gonna evolve, and if it would be possible eventually, maybe not now, but in the future, to use those tags also also to identify where things are exactly in a store. Mm-hmm. Let me give an example. Maybe you have three floors, right, in the store. Maybe you have sensors in the different floors, and you could eventually use this technology to, together with an app, help people find products easier in the store. Like say, oh, I'm looking for this product. Oh, I know it's in the third floor, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Is that something that is going to be part of the path here? Or?
What I would tell you is that solutions exist right now that can use RFID to provide location of an item down to the nearest inch. It's expensive. Retailers don't need to invest in that in order to generate a ton of value with RFID, which is why all of these retailers have moved forward. There are some instances where some of this type of always-on technology that gives you coordinates down to the nearest inch, or if you want the nearest 18 inches, whatever. You can cost justify some of this sometimes, but it'll be a while before that type of solution becomes more common. Great question, though.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mike, you must have a question. Oh, over here.
Hi. Can the RFID chips be serialized so that they're individual, unique to this specific item, not just one of 10,000 of that?
All of them are serialized. And that's a key part of the value proposition, because with barcode, if somebody is doing a barcode scan of 10 medium blue t-shirts and they double scan one of them, the system doesn't know that. Or if they miss one of them and they do 1, 2, 3, they miss number 4 but go on to 5, the system doesn't know that either. With RFID, you don't have that issue at all.
Cool.
Great question. Okay.
What cost are you looking at in general to apply the tag to a product?
It basically adds about 4 to 5 cents incremental to have a smart label compared to a traditional label without the microchip.
With the way that various retailers are trying to deal with delivery issues, store pickup issues, they're developing more and more complex supply mechanisms, hubs using the stores and such. Can RFID be used as an audit or a back-end inventory flow system? In other words, can I look at my RFID data and say, oh, what should be coming from distribution center A to hub B to store C is not what's happening? I mean, is that a potential application?
What I would say is that RFID has helped fill in the blanks in terms of what is really happening. In many cases, assumptions of what merchandise was believed to have arrived at store number 1, store number 2, store number 3 is not in fact what has arrived, because typically it hasn't been cost effective to justify doing a 1-by-1 piece count of every piece of merchandise that arrives into a store. That certainly is happening. That certainly is. RFID is also being used in some distribution centers as well to prevent errors from happening on the outbound side. So for example, making sure that a carton gets loaded on the right truck and doesn't end up going to the wrong store, that sort of thing. Good question.
Anybody else?
Well, in that case, oh
one more.
So the technology you described, I understand, is like a not always on label, right? It needs to be awakened. Do you also have the other technology where it's always on, and how much more expensive does it get? Because you talked about 4 or 5 cents of incremental cost. Mm-hmm. Is it much more when it's kind of always on?
It is much more. It is much more. You're looking at different use cases. When you hear about retail RFID, what they're talking about is the type of tag that needs to be woken up. That's basically what you're hearing about.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Well, I want to thank everyone for coming here today. I know you have lots of choices for your time, and I hope this was helpful to you.
And please let me add, this has been taped and will be available on the IIHA site. So if you want to go back and reference it, it should be up sooner rather than later. Also, just a note,
my name is Andres.
During your period here, if there are interests you have, there are a lot of things that are on the floor, from the Geo Winners to the Pantone display, that you might want to check out. Might be worth your time, might give you a couple of ideas. So please enjoy the show, and thank you for coming.